Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 425, entitled From Radio Addiction to Do the Woo, or Open Channels, Sir Bob Don on His Podcasting Journey. It was published on Thursday the 19th of June, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and a few bits of housekeeping just before we get started. The first thing to say is that if you'd like to keep up to date with all the bits and pieces that we do at WP Builds, head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe. Over there, you'll be able to find the social channels which you can follow us on, but also there's a couple of email lists which I urge you to sign up for. There's a no spam guarantee. We typically put out two episodes a week, the Thursday podcast, that's what you're listening to now, but also we do the live This Week in WordPress show, and I repackage that on a Tuesday as an audio podcast, and you'll get an email about that as well. Just on the subject of This Week in WordPress, if you fancy joining us, we do it live 2 p.m. UK time every Monday. It's at wpbuilds.com/live. We'd love to have you there giving us some commentary. It's always a fun show, and the more, the merrier, as they say. The other thing to mention is that the WP Builds podcast is a great avenue to get in front of a WordPress-specific audience because, well, you know, that's what we've got. And if you have a product or service and you are looking to spread the word about it, why not hit us up at wpbuilds.com/advertise, and you never know, we might be able to hook you up directly with our WordPress-specific audience. And there's three fine companies who have done just that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support with Bluehost Cloud. The possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And finally, by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go out to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their ongoing support of the WP Builds podcast. Like I said, if you'd like to join them, feel free to head to wpbuilds.com/advertise. to find out more. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, it's a chat with my very, very good friend, Sir Bob Don. I've decided that he deserves a knighthood, so from now on he's going to be Sir Bob Don. We have become very good friends in the real world as well as online. More recently, we've been meeting up and are kind of stuck together when we go to WordCamps. It's a little hysterical, actually. Basically, if you can find me, you can find Bob and vice versa. We're kind of literally glued together. And I've got Bob on the podcast today so that we can talk about, well, podcasting and WordPress and how the bits and pieces overlap, how WordPress is great for podcasters, how podcasting is great for WordPress, and how podcasting more generally is great for your endeavor, your business, this open format, which makes the whole enterprise so wonderful. Now, I should say that since the time we recorded this, Bob has changed. Do the Woo is no more. It's become Open Channels. That was all very much on the hush hush, but now it's been released into the world. So any URLs that you might find with dothewoo.io at the beginning have now become Open Channels. So hopefully that's removed that confusion. But it is a lovely chat. We really get into the weeds of all of the bits and pieces that we use, the technology that we use, the apps and the hardware that we use to podcast. I really hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Sir Bob Don. How are you doing?
That's good. I'm doing good, Sir Nathan.
No. The reason we've got Bob on the show today is we're going to have a chat about podcasting, because if you didn't know, Bob has been in the podcasting space for many, many years, much longer than I have. And I kind of consider myself to be a bit of an old gentleman of the podcasting space these days, but you've been at it for so much longer. So, Bob, just first question, it's a bit banal, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Just tell the audience who you are and what you do and things.
Yeah, well, I'll make it short and sweet. I founded Do the Woo podcast channel. I started in about, I think that one started in 2018, but I'd done a few other podcasts before then. Yeah, I'm the founder. I podcast on it, but I mostly do a lot of production work. So we have 30 hosts and I believe it's 15 shows. So there's a bit of everything in there for everyone.
That's so many things going on in the WordPress space. Let's cut it right back though. And I'll just say, dear listener, this really is going to be probably quite a self-indulgent episode, because we're going to talk about podcasting in the WordPress space. So obviously me and Bob are really interested in that. Nevertheless, I hope some of the bits and pieces that we discuss will be of interest to you. So before podcasting, just going back to your like earlier days when you were still, you know, in your teens or what have you, did you have any relationship with audio, like music or listening to like talk radio or anything, or is it all just pre-new?
Yeah, I loved, music, of course. Even, you know, as a teenager or younger, I always was fascinated with radio. Ugh. I always thought it was very cool. Yep. I listened to a lot of FM radio. So the DJs that would do it late at night and get stoned out of their minds, and then they put on a whole half of a record and and come back 30 minutes later. But it was, even as a kid, I loved having a radio. I carried a radio around. I had a little tiny reel-to-reel tape recorder where I'd record my own thing, which was really nothing. I just like talking into it. I thought it was fascinating. Yeah. So there's always been something. I've had a big reel-to-reel player. I don't know, later in my years, like around high school. And yeah, it's just always something. I was always told, because of my voice, I was told I should have been a DJ or a minister.
And they're really different.
Yeah, really different.
I have a real strong memory as a kid, and I'm not sure whether I've said it on this podcast recently, but maybe not, I don't know. When I was growing up, the radio was always on in our house. We had this radio that I couldn't reach. It was on a really high up kind of shelf that I would have had to have got ladders out to turn off, and it was in the kitchen. And basically, whilst people were awake in our house, the radio was on. So it went on before I woke up, and it was on when I went to bed. And it was fairly low, you know, you could easily talk over it. But my parents were more or less addicted to this radio station called Radio 4. And there was nothing but people talking. So it would be a show about the news, and then it'd be a show about politics, and then it would be a show about, God, goodness knows. I mean, almost anything. The BBC has this charter to just fill up the airwaves with something of interest to everybody. So the spectrum of things that are on is amazing. But what I got from that was information via osmosis. I would discover that I knew things and had no idea how I'd learnt them. And typically it would turn out that I probably heard it on the news or something like that, and it was just on in the background whilst I was talking. So I'm a bit like you as well. I had like record players, and I had cassette players, and I had reel to reel players, and then I
eight track.
Yeah, I had an eight track, and then I also had the sort of poor man's version of the eight track, you know, the regular cassette that it would use four of the tracks, and then you could bounce them onto the little Tascam thing. I don't know if you remember those. I really just was thoroughly immersed in it. And I learned from an early age that I far preferred audio to TV, because I could always be doing something at the same time. So I couldn't read a book and listen, and I couldn't watch a film and listen to audio, but I could do almost anything else. You know, like I could do my homework, or I could be on a bike, or I could be out with, you know, in the garden with my friends. You could just do a myriad of other things at the same time. And to this day, that's why I think I like podcasts, because I can do stuff at the same time. Sorry, I just went on and on there.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And that's why, you know, there's still some people that argue that audio podcasting is going away, because that's exactly why they listen to it, because they can do something, you know, exercise, walk the dog, lay around by the pool, whatever, you know. So yeah, it totally makes sense. And yeah, it was it's something, there was one of the things, and this is totally off topic and you shouldn't even get me on these things, but when I was in Nashville for WordCamp US, I think it was, we went to the Johnny Cash, it was a museum or something, and somebody wanted to go to it. And I, you know, I was never a real big fan of his, but he was also very popular. The one interesting thing, though, is they had an album there, or a record of his, that you could listen to starting at an LP and going through each medium up to high digital, you know, CDs, and then to whatever. And it was amazing to listen to the difference and stuff. But it was, but anyway, I seem to be going off on a tangent there.
No, it's okay. I'm really captivated by podcasting. And more recently, I've got really into the whole podcasting industry. So if you're listening to this podcast, I imagine you're into the WordPress industry. So, you know, you'll know the name of a bunch of plugins, and you'll probably know the name of a bunch of developers and themes and all of that kind of stuff. You're inside the baseball. And I haven't been inside the podcast industry baseball until recently, when I've just decided I'm going to subscribe to a load of newsletters and things like that. And one of the things that I'm surprised by is how utterly enormous the industry is. So there's, I mean, just imagine WordPress. I'm just going to make it up. I have no idea, but the magnitude of it feels like 50 times WordPress. Because, you know, it's in every country. It affects a significant proportion of the people. I don't know what the data is, but a crazy number of people as a percentage in most countries are consuming audio podcasts in some way, shape or form. And so there's this whole giant industry behind it that I didn't really have any insight into. And I've got letters, newsletters, got one open at the minute, actually, by a company called Pod News, and they produce a sort of daily newsletter. So there was always talk about podcasting going in and out of fashion and it rising and it falling. But my impression at the moment in 2025 is it's going gangbusters, going from strength to strength.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think too many people that don't really pay attention much beyond maybe, you know, a few podcasts they listen to, they don't realize that. And they don't realize that everyone isn't out there saying, oh, I'm not going to start a podcast because somebody else is doing it. Well, the odds of that is pretty unreal. And, you know, again, it kind of wraps around to the people and not so much the topic, because everybody delivers something in their own unique way.
Yeah, the other thing about that is, as well, is the barrier to entry to creating like good TV is really high. The barrier to creating good audio is so low now. I mean, really, I'm Bob and I can both see one another, and we're both obviously sitting at home. We've bought, I imagine Bob and I have both spent a little bit more than you need to on a variety of different things. Like, I've got a reasonable mic. Bob's got a really nice mic. But you don't need any of that stuff. You basically need a mic for about $30. Obviously, the more you spend, the better it becomes. And there becomes a point where you start to spend a lot more for almost no noticeable difference. But you basically need a computer and a microphone and the willingness to talk. And that is just phenomenal.
It is. It really is. And I think it's simple, and it's a thing that, you know, I don't think people should sit there and worry about if they're going to have a podcast, how many people are going to listen to it, and, you know, get all freaked out about that stuff in the beginning. I think it's that desire to want to do that. And if you're doing it for the right reason, and you feel comfortable doing that. I mean, if it's just a side thing that you just enjoy and you don't really care one way or another about how many people listen, then do it. Enjoy it. Have fun.
Yeah.
It's like blogging or anything else, you know, just, yeah, it's a very easy, very low barrier.
So there was this interesting innovation that came, I don't know when it was, but it feels like it was about 5 years ago. Obviously, podcasting had sort of taken hold in more or less everybody's consciousness as a thing. And then I think some big, really big companies like Spotify, you know, obviously everybody knows that as a sort of music channel where you go and listen to the world's music for a subscription fee. They got into it. And I think it was a bit of a failure for them because they kind of pitched it wrong and they tried to paywall everything, whereas podcasting has this real open flavor to it. And we can get into that in a bit. But at the same time, I noticed that a lot of companies started to launch a podcast. And that, to me, felt like a real mistake because for the reason that you just said, if you're into something and you want to talk about it, it more or less guaranteed there's somebody that will be willing to listen to it. Now, obviously, if you're going to talk about, I don't know, if you do an entire podcast about only stick insects, you really are like limiting the amount of people. Yeah. There's only so many people. But if that's your thing, all the people who are into that thing will be willing to listen, I'm sure. But if you're, right, I don't know, baseball or motor racing or something, you know, where the dragnet is massive, you really, the listener base is potentially absolutely enormous, but we both did WordPress.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to use it when I did blogging workshops. I used to use the analogy of if you did a podcast about the naked mole rat. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of that,
brutal.
But look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is brutal. Yeah. But I said there probably are some people that, you know, who knows, maybe even they have naked mole rat mugs and hats and stuff, but you know, there might be a little audience out there, but you know, again, like you said, there's huge audiences out there too, depending what your topic is.
Yeah. The, my podcast player. So a typical, I think, listener of mine will be on a mobile phone probably, because that seems to be the way most people want to consume it. Because, you know, it sits in the pocket and it goes to your headphones, which, you know, you can be anywhere you like and all of that. And my podcast app of choice is one called Pocket Cast. It's coincidentally, it's owned by Automattic.
Me too.
I started using it long before Automattic acquired it, and it had a great UI and all of that. But when you look at it in its raw state, when you download the app, podcasts just appear as little square tiles. And if you subscribe to podcasts, that tile binds itself into the UI and then they kind of get reordered depending on when episodes come out. And I was looking at mine just the other day, actually, and I'm curious to know where yours goes. My podcast app is dominated by history. I've probably listening to about 12 history podcasts and then two or three WordPress podcasts. And then there's an eclectic range of just random other stuff. But for me, it's history, and I never talk about history on this podcast because it's not the point. But
just your interest.
Yeah, but it's the thing that, you know, when the WordPress stuff shuts down for me, the history stuff starts. And so that's where I've leaned into. And there are, well, I've got at least 12, and there are, I reckon there must be hundreds, possibly thousands more. Where do you find yourself when you're not WordPressing?
You know, I honestly don't listen to that many podcasts. So I'll sometimes I'll just do it to the people I know if I'm out and stuff. You know, I'll listen to podcasts. So I'm not quite into it as much, and I'm not, you know, using my phone as much. So I'm really a poor example of anything to do with
that's right.
You know, and it's terrible to say I don't listen to podcasts that much, but I really don't. I don't, you know, actually a lot of times when I go to there's a few I do want to listen to because I like the people or the people that's going to be on it. But sometimes I'll just skim through the transcript, especially if it's something I'm just, you know, thinking, is this one came off the cuff, I don't know where it came from, but is it interesting? I'll look through the transcript to see if it might be worth a listen.
Yeah.
So I'm totally not our best our best listener then, you know, it's like, don't market to me.
Yeah, you don't need to worry, though, because there really are tens of millions of people and they're all kind of looking for things to listen to. And yeah, I'm always staggered. I think more or less everybody that I know has at some point consumed one, whether or not they're listening to it all the time. And it's kind of not something that comes up in conversation much. Like, what do you listen? The conversation about what did you watch on TV happens all the time. But what did what did you listen to on your podcast? No, not so much. But
Well, one of the interesting things about that is I found, you know, that dreaded, you know, what do you do? Oh, I work in WordPress or something, you know. But then when I became podcaster, I just say, I do a podcast.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. Oh, what's it on?
Yeah, what's that?
I say it's tech related. And they go, wow, okay. And they might be interested and ask about it. But actually, everybody understands, you know, I'm a WordPress trainer. Oh, what's that? I'm a podcaster. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe don't even listen to it. They still know what it is.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird word, isn't it, when you actually break it down? When you say a word often enough, it kind of just loses all meaning. That's just happened to me with podcasts.
And then you start to dwell on it.
Yeah, it's like podcast. Okay. Yeah, so I think that the listener base is there, and I think the ability to put it to put one together is amazing. And I just want to break this apart for the listeners who maybe haven't thought about this before. The whole thing about a podcast is that it's basically an RSS feed. That is essentially all it is. That's what the podcast players are scraping. When you go somewhere and you subscribe, so if you're listening to your podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Pocket Casts in my case, every time that you subscribe to a podcast, basically what you're doing is providing the RSS feed, and then there's a bunch of tags in the XML of that RSS feed, which are sort of declaring, okay, there's a new episode. What's its title? Well, here's the title tags. What's its description? Here's the description. Where's the image? Here's the image. And so your podcast player is constantly just shouting out anything new anywhere, anything new anywhere, anything new anywhere. And then occasionally somebody's RSS feed will get updated, like mine, once a week. And your podcast player will go, nice, new piece of content. Let's download it. And I just think that's one of the wonderful things about it as well. It's free and open. Nobody can own your content or put your podcast out of business, for want of a better word. Yeah, so it's just an RSS feed and nobody can put you out of business. If your podcast hosting company just goes out of business, or, you know, you just pick it up and move it somewhere else.
Yeah.
But also what's nice about that is the content comes onto your audience's device and you don't have to do anything to promote it. You don't have to tell them we've got a new episode. They know you've got a new episode because their podcast. So it kind of like self-perpetuates itself and advertises itself, which is kind of amazing. And I just think that free RSS nature of it is pretty cool.
Yeah. And the RSS, I mean, I don't even know when RSS actually became RSS, but you know, it seems like I've loved it forever for that simple reason. I mean, whether it's blog posts or whatever, you know, I still use our RSS reader.
Yeah,
I would prefer that over newsletters, and having that I can go through and pick and choose and have them all categorized and stuff. And it's something that I hope never goes away.
I hope so too. Okay, let's get into the technicalities of it, because I said earlier that it was really easy to do. Let's talk about like the evolution of your gear over time, because if somebody was listening to this and thought, I'm going to give podcasting a go, I'm really into this thing and that thing, where would you say you began? What was the suite of stuff that you had back in the day that allowed you to start, let's see
Camtasia and a microphone.
Nice.
That was it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I started first doing like video tutorials for YouTube, you know, WordPress stuff. But yeah, it was, you know, I had this one mic I used, I think it might've cost me about $99 or something like that. And yeah, it was, it lasted me quite a long time. And even then people would say, oh, what mic do you have? What do you have? Because it was, you know, did the job. And I thought, wow, these two things, some software, some hardware, and I'm good to go.
The The mic that you need is really not the mic that you want, if you know what I mean. I was saying earlier, we all would be after. Actually, Bob's mic that he's got at the moment is kind of like the one that you see on all the big podcasts and things like that. I think it's a Shure something or other. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Shure 7MB. MV, I think.
Yes, SMB7, something like that. Anyway, it's the it's the sort of flagship mic. But you didn't begin with that. You just started with a cheaper one.
I got this about, I don't know if it was 3 years ago, up to that. You know, I mean, I used some Rode mics and different things like that. And there was a point I just thought, I think I'm at the level or the use of it. I need to pay this much for it.
Yep.
Now, in hindsight, I don't know if I really needed to pay that much for it because, you know, I mean, there was plenty that were still, there's a actually even a lower model of this one, the Shure, that a lot of people that I recommend too. But I never have recommended this mic to anyone because it's like, you know, unless they just want to spend a lot of money and really like tech gear and want the best, or it's not the best, but
yeah, I've got there. I've ended up with the one which is less good than yours, but the one that I've got is a Shure one. I think mine is the Shure MV7. I'll try to remember to put the links in the show notes, but anyway, you can hear me say it. But what I like about mine is that it plugs directly straight into the computer. And I know
USB.
So it's got a USB, which sounds like really obvious, doesn't it? But I know that your one, because it's not really designed to be connected to a computer. It's designed to be connected to some sort of audio interface. You have you had to buy an additional thing.
Yeah, you have to buy like a, what's an interface?
Yeah, an audio interface.
There's several different ones. You have to run it through that. And it's, and I think I bought that because I did my research. I didn't ask AI because it wasn't quite so crazy then. But I did some research and it just seemed like it was recommended. I thought, if I'm going to really be committing my time to this. But again, I think back when I did it, the USB weren't quite as good.
No.
You know, the connection wasn't, but I think they've improved incredibly. And I know most people do have that.
The I think as podcasting has grown, I think a lot of audio manufacturers, you know, audio equipment manufacturers have kind of leaned in and they've started to design whole suites of products in the podcasting space. So you've now got all the big manufacturers, they've got their, if you go to their website, there'll be like a podcasting section and there's a mic which they claim is, you know, suitable for podcasting. It's probably not great for recording drums or bands or singing perhaps, or those dynamic ranges, but for just talking into a microphone, it's perfect. And then all of the other bits and pieces that go on top of that. So I know also you've got a, what is that thing that you've got? It's a Rode podcast.
Oh, Rodecaster.
The Rodecaster. Yeah. What's that?
And that's the thing. When I first did it, I had an XLR. I had a simpler interface. And I can't remember what it is, but it's red. I can remember the color.
Oh, Scarlett. Great. Was it a Scarlett Focusrite? Scarlett.
Because those were like the standard. Yeah. And they really, it did well. But then I thought I need a little better sound, so I bought the Rodecaster, which, again, in hindsight, I'm thinking, what did I do this for? Because it's great if you have a studio, because you can get four mics hooked up to it, and you can control them all. And I'm sitting in my office, you know, all by myself, looking at these other three tracks that I never use. And then there was a lot of other settings in it, so you could go deeper and deeper into all these settings. And as I was telling you earlier, I think I just did too many settings because it just started sounding weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
So I reset it and now I'm just following the default settings and just, so it's, there's a lot simpler. They've come out with a lot simpler interfaces that are really good. And, you know, if I hadn't invested in this, I'd probably be using one of them.
Yeah. The one that I've got, this Shure one, it comes, so literally USB comes out the back of the mic. I plug it into my Mac and they supply free software for the Mac, which has a bunch of settings, but not many. There's like five or six, but it's things like, you know, do you want to limit how loud things can get or how quiet things can get? Do you want it to cut off at those points? But it's very basic. But again, I've done exactly what you've done. I've switched everything off so that what the mic captures is just how it captures out of the factory. When you unbox it, that's how I've now got it set up. And the reason for that is that the software, not that they ship, but the software that both you and I use, now we'll use different ones, I'm sure, but the software now is so good at making even fairly bad audio sound really good that you don't really need to worry too much about, like, is the mic bassy enough? Don't worry about that. Is it capturing the audio is all you need to worry about without a ton of background noise. And then the, you know, you can EQ it and all of those kind of things after the fact. What software are you using to edit yours?
Well, it is, there's a Rodecaster software that I actually don't use that much. So I have this sit, but then, you know, I put it into, you know, Riverside. I record into Riverside .fm, and that, you know, similar to Descript. I mean, I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about those, but yeah, it's, this has a lot of the settings in the hardware. So the software isn't that, you know, have that many things. So it's, yeah, it is what it is, but it's, I would say it's overkill for probably, well, one thing is if you're not doing this in the studio and you have several people sitting across from each other. And, you know, it's definitely overkill if you're by yourself. I mean, I don't think, unless you're some geek that has to get in there and just fine tune it, I think you can screw things up more than you can make them better.
Yeah, that's, and you can obsess about it as well. You sort of obsess about all the things and you try over and over again. I think you're better off just capturing the raw audio. So you mentioned a couple of things there, and let's get on to that. So let's imagine that you want to record a podcast and it's just you into the microphone. Well, we've got all the bases covered there. You just basically need a mic and a computer. Or you, honestly, you could just record into an iPhone and then upload it into a computer. The mic in an iPhone is probably, with software, you can probably get a fairly decent sound out of that. But then you've captured the audio. What you mentioned, things like Riverside FM and Descript. Do you want to just describe what how they fit into your workflow?
Yeah, boy, that's a, how would you describe it? Because I know you use Descript. It's like a, basically like a studio online.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. And the post-production, especially all the thing, the editing you can do both on video and audio. Yep. And I mean, it's, transcripts, it's amazing the stuff it does.
I'll try and impress upon the listeners just how profound I think some of the software is. So if you've been listening to my podcast for the last, probably the last 3 years, I've been using they say it's a Mac app, but it's not. It's a wrapper for a web page. It's basically a web page. And you can record into it now, but you didn't used to be able to. You had to record elsewhere and then upload the files. But the software, typically, if there's two people being recorded, so me and Bob, I will throw two audio files at it, one with Bob and one with me. So throw that into Descript, and then it basically wants to know, who's this? And you say, okay, that's Nathan. And who's this? Okay, that's Bob. And then let's say that we record for an hour. Within about 1 minute, it will have transcribed the whole lot into English, and I don't speak in another language, but my understanding is that if you speak a language which is fairly widely spoken, then it'll do it into your native language as well. And it will create a transcript. So imagine a Google Doc, basically, with just tons of text about what we said in it. And then you can click a button to get rid of the ums and the ahs and the sort of filler words, they call it, where people go like, or you know, over and over again. So it will get rid of those. But also, you've now got the text on the screen and you can edit the audio with highlighting the text. So let's say that I want to get rid of this paragraph that I'm speaking now. I'll just highlight the text, this paragraph I'm speaking now, and click the backspace on my keyboard, and off it goes. It's just, it sounds like such an obvious little thing. But it binds the audio to the words and the words to the audio. So you can either highlight in the timeline view, like you've all seen in things like, you know, Camtasia and Logic and all of those, you know, Premiere and all of those kind of things. But it also offers an interface where you can edit with words. But the other thing is, it's got loads of simple settings for improving the audio. And that, I guess it's, they're going to call it AI, I imagine, something like that. But they've given it this name of Studio Sound, where you take a bit of audio and it's got some, I don't know, some annoying air conditioning hum in the background, and it figures out, okay, let's get rid of that. And it it just does it. It's a miracle. Yeah.
Or if somebody has a lot of echo, you know, yeah. in a room, you can adjust it to get it to be, to basically eliminate it. It doesn't always do it perfectly. That's the thing. Sometimes you think, oh, this is going to work magic, and it actually makes it sound worse or not any better. So it's it really depends, and it depends on a lot of I've noticed different accents,
yep,
and different languages. It might do it better on one than another. And one of the things I found out interesting with the ums and ahs, and I know how you do it, is, you know, I was talking to somebody and they said, wow, I went in there and they came up and said there was like, you know, 900 filler words, and I just eliminated them all. And then they went through and said, man, what a mess.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting is, and I don't know if you do this, I look at the, what do you call it? The timeline. And that's where, yeah. you know, for the person out there, that's where you see basically the
waveform, really, isn't it?
Yeah. The wave.
The peaks and the troughs of the audio. Yeah. yeah.
So somebody may say, but it's a run on, so that's, kind of blends into the word. So if you have it, take it out, it just gets cut off. So it might cut off some of the other words sometime. And then the other interesting thing is that it'll, now I lost my total train of thought.
Oh, no. I'm going to develop that one whilst you think, though. So you carry on thinking, yeah, okay. and I'll develop okay. that. And that is to say that, yeah, so the way I work it is basically, I two options. If I feel at the end of the interview that the ums and the, because I do listen with that in mind. If at the end of the interview I feel that the guest really was doing a lot of that and it was going to be hard to listen to, then I'll go through and I'll edit. I'll just listen to the whole thing and edit bits out as I see fit. But if I feel that you know, it just doesn't merit that. Basically, the conversation flowed and there was an occasional thing. Then I'll just make a note on a piece of paper next to me, you know, don't do any of that. And when I come to edit it, I'll just give it a pass and I'll just assume it's fine and listen to bits here, there and everywhere. I do a different podcast for the WP Tavern, and I really drill down on that. I spend quite a long time editing it and getting all the ums and the ahs out. So it's a different approach to that one as well. Anyway, after that, padding, what did you remember what you wanted to say?
Oh, yes. One of the things is if a word gets clipped off, and this is another really bizarre thing that's hit and miss, is they have a thing called regenerate, and I'm sure it's AI. But if you select a single word, it will regenerate it in that person's voice. And I would say 7 times out of 10, it's really good. Sometimes it's, you know, it's almost too, especially if they're talking excitedly or their voice is going up and down, it's kind of can get to that word and kind of, you know, it's, you can tell it changes drastically.
But suddenly they go from like speaking hi to one word that's low or something like that. Yeah.
And sometimes they'll actually, I've had it really oddly enough, grab the wrong voice. Create some voice. Like, where did that come from? Yeah. I don't know if they couldn't understand it, but it's, there's a lot of little, what do you want to call it? Intricacies in that software. You can go as deep as you want, or you can really do a good job of editing with really not a lot of effort.
Yeah. Yeah. It is amazing. Why do you use that regenerate? And if so, why? Is it that when you've just heard a word, you just think it just sound like something went wrong at that, or maybe.
Yeah. Like, you know, if somebody, it's something in the, whether it's the internet and the name, the word kind of isn't, it's like, what did they just say?
It sort of Daleks out or something like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like
they just said some little sound, and it works sometimes and it doesn't work sometimes. I don't, you know, you could take forever. And if you want to do more, sometimes if you choose to do more than one word, several words, then you actually have to have that person read into a script. Or they have their voice, they give you a script that person would read into, which I'm not going to go back to them and say, hey, you know, you said a lot of ums or whatever, and now I'm going to make you read into the script. But it's amazing how much sometimes on certain podcasts that how, if you were to eliminate every and like,
oh.
you know,
oh.
you could knock out like probably 10 minutes yeah. on some
yeah,
podcasts.
I've definitely done that. So the way that my setup works is that I have a booking link online, and I give people the booking link and they book a slot to talk to me, you know, like, so it's almost like a Zoom. And then we do what you and I are doing now. I'm recording it. You're not recording it, but you know, if it was the other way around, you'd be recording it and I wouldn't be recording it. But so people book on, and then I leave it in Descript, edit it, and then put it out and what have you. So I'm involved in all of the different bits and pieces of that work, and it's my voice on the podcast and what have you. You've gone in a different direction recently, haven't you? You've decided to become more of a, I don't know how to describe it, like a podcast manager or something.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes I call it a channel. Ah. Somebody had given me a network, they said. And I said, no, it's not really a network. To me, a network be pulling in other podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, that are individually done. So I chose to kind of step back from it and started with, you know, one host on episode 5 back whenever. And then I eventually added 3 more hosts. And then I just kept adding more hosts and more voices, which... it's great. I mean, you get all these different insights, different personalities in there. And so I've got, like I said earlier, I've got 30 hosts and 15 shows. So they all sometimes cross over into other shows, or they have their own show. And I also let them often choose a guest. I mean, unless they want me to find somebody, I'll do it. But it's, you know, it's great, but it's, you know, it's hurting cats in a way, and I'm not saying yeah. that in a negative yeah. way, but it is. It's not for somebody that is totally flexible or can hand over things. And because cancellations, people change. When you got that many people between the guests and the hosts, you know, we're moving stuff constantly. My calendar, I have reworked my calendar so many times, and it's just, I don't know if there's never a perfect app out there that will do what I want to do. I always have to cut some corner, but it's, yeah, it makes it very interesting. And I love it. I love doing this. It's a different approach, but, you know, it's kind of where I'm at in my journey, or whatever you want to call it.
Do you miss though? Do you miss getting in front of the mic and doing the interviews?
I don't. No. In fact, okay. sometimes I dread it now when, you know, because I'll fill in sometimes, and I started a new show where I'll be on once a week in that show as a co-host. But I don't miss it as much as I thought I would. In fact, it's something, I guess the production part of it, I feel, well, you're doing both, and we're, you know, I'm doing both in a sense. But there's something with moving into the production part, which most people hate. I've enjoyed getting into it more and more because it's another new piece, and there's always stuff coming out and things you can do and ways you can, you know, whether you're doing post-production or generating content for other marketing purposes and stuff. I love that new learning part.
Yeah.
And
you're able to concentrate on also, like, you're really, you innovate a lot, I think, as well, in terms of like just figuring out how to engage the audience, and you know, your commitment to posting different kind of formats to draw people in on social media. We often chat about this, and I'm always kind of inspired by how you've always given it a bit of extra thought. I tend to be a little bit more laissez-faire about it and put the podcast out, and in many cases, you know, the RSS feed is what I do. Whereas you're able to, because you're probably really skilled now with the editing stuff, you can repurpose it and take little snippets out and post this little 2-minute thing on LinkedIn because you think there's a nugget of information in there which might draw people to the show and so on. So that's kind of nice, and a real pivot from talking into a mic every day.
Yeah, it is. And I enjoy it. And I do. Very seldom do they record without me. I'm usually there behind the scenes.
How are you? Okay.
You know, yeah, right. I would say 98% of the shows I introduce myself. In Riverside .fm, the platform I use to record, you can set yourself as a producer And what this does is it makes your little, you know, an extra window that you can move around in size. And then when you mute and turn off your video, you disappear from it. So you're never recorded or anything.
Got it.
And it's in fact, somebody just described me recently that I wish I could get it. Somebody, Katie Keith, said I'm up in heaven watching over everybody. And then I'm correcting all their mistakes or something. It was great. I wish I could remember.
So, you know, you said that you've got like about 15 different shows and 30 hosts. How often do those shows drop? So in a typical week, how many bits will you have needed to have edited?
You know, in a perfect world, I would have planned almost every day, but because of changes, because of people traveling, it's kind of random now. Because every show that I have is typically once a month, but then there's sometimes we throw in an extra one. So it's I have enough shows that I can keep it pretty constant. But there's those times that come that things go sideways, or everybody seems to be traveling, and so it's something that I guarantee my sponsors a certain amount.
Okay.
And I will make sure that's in there, but often it's above and beyond that.
So if you've got 15 shows and you're trying to do each of those once a month, so that's about 15 shows a month, that's roughly one every couple of days. That's a lot. One more or less launching one or publishing one every other day.
Yeah, and two of the shows tried to go for twice a month.
Wow.
I think it's two of them. And then some of them, like I have one called WordPress Event Talk that just happens when we get somebody in talking about an event that is going to happen or has happened. So it's if you try to keep a real rigid schedule, I mean, you have it, like I have everybody, I have to at the first of the year send everybody invites for the entire year, which is a total... it's a nightmare. It's just a mess because no calendar does this. Nobody, I mean, because my model isn't something, a lot of people are doing. So I have very unique needs and I've got to do it. So
yeah,
I try to get everything set up. It's like, okay, this is on your calendar, this date, this time with my hosts, your show. But hey, we can change. We can cancel. We can do what we need to do because all my hosts volunteer their time and they've accepted it because obviously, and I think they also like being able to do a podcast and not worry about anything. But
yeah, just hit record and then talking. Walk away. Yeah.
So it's, and they come in with the sense of, hey, if this doesn't work, you tell me. If you need to suddenly leave, even on a dime, because maybe a new job or whatever, do it. You can move on. I love what you've been able to do and stuff. And, a couple of them have come back too. They've taken a break and come back.
I was reading your blog the other day. I can't remember which of the properties that you've got it was on, but it was about the kind of when to know when to kill a podcast. And I was curious about that. With those 15, do you only go to 16, to 17, to 18, or do you ever go back down to 10? Do you often decide this show's not working, let's try something else, or do you just keep going doggedly?
Well, I don't see it just keep growing because, there are ones I've said I had one thing called All Things WordPress and WooCommerce. Well, I change it because we had two or three different hosts under that and they do these different shows. So yeah, it's constantly changing. It's never like, boom, I'm just going to add a bunch of shows. I can add shows. I just did, quite a few shows recently, but sometimes so if I have a show and then maybe I have three hosts and they all do a different topic under that show, then there's been times that we pulled it out and made it a show itself.
Okay.
So let's see. So like with All Things WordPress and WooCommerce, somebody was talking mostly about emerging tech. So they were talking about Bitcoin, AI, all that stuff. So we decided to pull that out and put it under a different one. So I am kind of moving things around a lot. And I don't, I'm at a point where I should subtract and not add. So
I guess you got to keep the show hosts happy and the sponsors happy a little bit.
And a lot of the reasons I change it is because that they, you know, one of the hosts recently said, I'm on this show. It's just not quite, you know, I wish I could be talking about this. So we shifted her over and then moved somebody else in. So it's, yeah, I want to keep them happy and doing what they want to do because, you know, I don't want them to be talking about something they're either tired of talking about or feel there isn't enough to talk about.
You ever regret just binding yourself entirely to WordPress, WooCommerce? You ever wish you could sort of pivot into some other, like, obviously you could start another podcast, like, that's got nothing to do with WordPress. I don't know, like Formula One podcast or just some random thing. But do you ever wish that you hadn't have in the tech world? Because I sometimes do, because I feel the title of mine is obviously WP Builds and it's got WP right at the beginning. And for many, many years, that's all I wanted to talk about, but it kind of constrains a little bit what I could talk about. So right now, AI might be a subject many in my audience would be listening in for. Yeah. They'd be curious about that, but I kind of feel I can't necessarily do it. So actually, this is a bit of an odd episode because we're not really digging into WordPress too much. We'll get into that as a sort of way to end it off in a minute. But do you ever wish that you'd sort of not constrained yourself so much?
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, there are times you think, oh, what if I would have done this or whatever, but I think I would have been constrained into something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly what that'd be because something too generic might not work or whatever. But the interesting kind of little bit of history. So when I named it Do the Woo, it was primarily WooCommerce. And I started adding in, after some time, more WordPress, because WordPress was always talked about. I mean, you know, it's obvious, the two. So I started separating out some of those. And then I added a show called Open Web Conversations.
Oh, nice.
And that is not just about WordPress. It's, you know, like there's an expanding the stack for developers, looking at other, all the tools out there, more around, open web, Fediverse. I mean, not always related directly to WordPress, but how I work that or how I worked in my mind, I even talked about this to the sponsors and also to WooCommerce, is that everything I do still reflects on the person that builds with Woo. So if they're there, they're going to probably, a lot of the WordPress ones will interest them because they're obviously working in WordPress. Or some of the open web stuff that, hey, you know, might be interesting to hear about other things going on. It's not trying to push them out of WordPress. It's just like, learn about something new, kind of step out the bubble and learn more really what the Fediverse is rather than just what the Fediverse does for WordPress. So you have to creatively twist and turn and find ways to do it. And I feel like the podcast, and we were talking a little earlier, I think our podcast, no matter the evolution of WordPress or whatever, we're kind of in a space where we could segue or make a change or adapt to what's going on. And I think that's one of the things we're lucky with. But, you know, sometimes I think, oh, maybe I should have done, you know, I did. I've done like 9 or 10 podcasts, and a lot of them were I had one that lasted, I think, 5 episodes.
Oh.
And it was the most horrifying podcast you'll ever probably have listened to. It was called Bob WP's Neighborhood.
Okay.
And Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which is known mostly globally.
Okay.
The children's show from the United States. So I kind of took it on that. I wore a sweater like Mr. Rogers, and I would interview people and talk about fun stuff. And the very first show I did, I did on video, and I walked into the room and did his whole, if anybody's watched it, I went in and took off a jacket and put on my sweater, and I put on some comfortable shoes and And it was pretty horrifying when I really look back on it. So some podcasts haven't quite worked out, but, you know, I got something in my head and I thought, oh, I'll give this a try.
You never know though, right? Because the strangest thing for me, so I basically only do WordPressy podcasts. I mean, I haven't really tried anything else, but I'm always surprised by the episodes which resonate with the audience. And there's no connection between what I think is good and what the wider world thinks is good. So I get lots of commentary about one that I think, oh, I'm not sure if people will, you know, get much out of that one. And then other ones where I think, oh, this will be really a hit. And maybe it's crickets, you know. So, yeah, I think in my future, I am going to try doing a variety of different podcasts, maybe a sort of history kind of thing or a fact-based one or something. I quite like the idea of those kind of things, but I haven't done yet. Let's just round it off with WordPress and podcasting. Yeah. So I'm guessing, in fact, I know the answer to this, you're using a WordPress website in order to publish your podcast. You don't really have to do that because a lot of the platforms will do a half. Well, honestly, it's a bit of a half-baked job most of the time. They've all got some kind of URL that you can link to, but it's not optimized. Mm-hmm. So both you and I are using WordPress, which for me is just the perfect tool for producing a podcast. Yours is something which you've recently, I don't know how to describe it. You're getting some assistance with that, aren't you, in the recent past?
Yeah, because when I was given a... And I'll say it, Matt Mullenweg, the founder of WordPress, gave me what he called, they have, it's a special projects team that they work on certain projects. So they rebuilt my site, which I really needed because of the way I was building it out and the channel and everything. So it is on WordPress.com and I'm using Casto still. That's the hosting that I use for the podcast. And it's a great gift for me. It's amazing. I don't, you know, have to do things. I don't have to maintain if I have an idea.
I use WordPress. My WordPress is not with .com. It's just a .org website, which I run myself on some hosting. But I use Castos as well. Castos is a plugin for WordPress. It's a SaaS app as well as a plugin. But basically it allows you to... with a meta box inside the post or block editor, it allows you to upload your audio so you don't have to go to a third-party service. And then the content that you put in your editor will become the description in the RSS feed. So it basically makes WordPress a first-class citizen. There may be other solutions which do that inside of WordPress. I've never come across them. So Castos is the one that I prefer, and I can link to that in the show notes. It basically just makes WordPress just really, really usable. And with that in mind, dear listener, I'm going to drop something a bit weird. I, along with some friends of mine, am in the process of launching a podcasting plugin. And I'd be curious if anybody listening to this is interested in potentially trying it out. You really do have to have a podcast or at least an RSS feed, but we're looking for some beta testers. And if that's of interest to you, it's got to do with podcast players and making them look nice. So I'm just going to drop that right at the end of the podcast. See if anybody gets to this point and hears it. If you want to be a part of that, go onto the wpbuilds.com website and just /contact. And just drop your email address and, you know, say you want to be part of the podcast player beta testing. Yeah. And
And it's very cool. I can attest to that.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. Let's just say that.
Yeah, whether
it's
sneak peeking. Can I just drop one last thing?
Please.
Also, for people that want to repurpose their audio, Nathan introduced me to a tool that I now wallow in many hours all the time because it's just amazing what it does. It's called Cast Magic.
It really is.
And it basically, you drop in your audio and it'll repurpose it into all sorts of content, of course, and it customize it, manipulate it. Then, you know, you can flavor it to your own voice or whatever afterwards, edit it and stuff. But it is beyond words. It's even hard to describe because it just does blog posts. It'll do basically whatever you ask, it will do, but it's got that so-called, I don't know what, training that it really does well with the audio and it does amazing things.
It's an AI that, so you know how when you're in a normal AI, you can get it to do one thing at once. Well, they have got an AI. So it does do one thing at once, but then it just layers them on top of each other. So you chuck in your audio. So if I chucked in the audio of me and Bob, and it would say, you know, who's this? And I'd say, this is Bob. And who's this? This is Nathan. And then a wheel kind of spins. And whilst the wheel is spinning, it's going to its AI agent. I honestly don't know which one they use, but I imagine it's, you know, ChatGPT or what have you. And it's feeding the audio. Maybe it's not the audio. Maybe it's the text. I'm not sure. The transcript, not sure. But it's feeding it loads of prompts. So it's saying, give us 10 titles and then give us a short post description and then give us a long post description and then pick out things that might be of interest on LinkedIn and pick out things that might be the most five relevant things that are, and 10 questions that you could ask from this. And then it dumps it all into one UI so that you've got like so you're just overwhelmed with different things that you can then do. It doesn't actually push the content to other platforms. Like, you know, it won't send something to TikTok or to Facebook or to Twitter or whatever, but it will just give you text-based things in return that will then just sort of stimulate an idea. And I know you started using it, what, a few weeks ago, and you're kind of addicted to it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's great. Because I've always been about repurposing content. And, you know, I don't particularly always like thinking of using AI to create new content, but if I have existing content and it can, I mean, this thing saved you loads of time. And then with each one of the prompts, like you said, you can go back to it and it'll say, make it shorter, make it longer.
Yeah.
If you want to add an additional, like I did something for Facebook, not Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook, LinkedIn. And I added in, it was a kind of a short article or a newsletter article. And I asked it, well, now throw in 3 pull quotes from this person. And then it interjected those. So it's a repurposing master.
Yeah, I can't remember
audio.
How I found that, but I'm glad that I did. I use it a lot now. But it's not the sort of thing that you'd want to use entirely, but it just gives you that little, okay, oh, that's an idea. Oh, I never thought of that. And it's
exactly.
Really good. And it does what AI does best, I think, which is take a corpus of data and work on that only. It's not trying to reach out and give you an answer for some random thing that's never been done before. It's just, here's a podcast, just drill into that and tell us information about that. Okay, so there we go. So there's your podcasting diatribe with me and Bob Don. Hopefully that's been of interest, dear listener. I mean, it's always a pleasure chatting to Bob. Bob and I, whenever we're at a WordCamp together, we're kind of stapled together. We don't tend to do anything else apart from just hang out, which is really nice. So it's a pleasure having you on the podcast today, Bob. All the best with Do the Woo, and let's hope that in the near future you're up to like 89 shows or something like that, and you'll be bound to your desk forevermore.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was great.
You're so welcome. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I really hope that you enjoyed that. If you did, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 425 and leave us a comment there. If you didn't enjoy it, well, I suppose you could do the same thing. Head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 425 and leave us a comment there. It was very, very nice chatting to Bob. And I hope that you can infer from the audio that we have become very good friends. He's such a lovely, lovely chap. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support with Bluehost Cloud. The possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And finally, by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that's Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go out to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and OmniSend for their ongoing support of the WP Builds podcast. Like I said, if you'd like to join them, feel free to head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. Okay, that's nearly it. That's almost all of it, but a couple of things to mention before we go. Don't forget, if you'd like to advertise on WP Builds, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise and join us live. wpbuilds.com/live Monday, 2 p.m. UK time for the This Week in WordPress show. We'd love to have you there, commenting on all of the bits and pieces that our guests bring to the show. Okay, truly, that is it. I'm going to fade in some cheesy music and say, stay safe, have a good week. Bye-bye for now.